very good Monday and welcome to today's edition of the My Ag Life Daily News Report. I'm your host, Lori Boyer. In addition to feature agricultural news reports, I'll bring you a look at national and regional agricultural news headlines, and I'll start with regional ag news right after this.
Get ready for the 2023 Crop Consultant Conference in Visalia, California on September 27th and 28th, hosted by Progressive Crop Consultant Magazine and Western Region Certified Crop Advisors. This two-day event will feature a combined 44 hours of live and online continuing education units for attendees in the heart of California, a trade show, first-class dining, entertainment, and a mixer. Come join CCAs, PCAs, growers, and industry professionals at the Visalia Convention Center to hear from researchers and colleagues on the latest in agriculture. Registration is now open at progressivecrop.com/conference.
We're waking up to a new dawn in agriculture, a better way, where farmers stop working the soil and start working with it. At Huma, our carbon-rich, humate-based products improve soil health and fertility, deliver nutrients more efficiently, and reduce crop input costs. Welcome to Humix Solutions with a human touch. Visit huma.us to learn more.
Cost to produce processing tomatoes increased substantially in the past 6 years, according to a study released in July by researchers at the University of California and UC Cooperative Extension Farm Advisors. Based on a 2023 cost analysis for growing processing tomatoes in the Sacramento Valley and Northern Delta, researchers found that growers face surging input costs for expenses such as water, labor, fuel, and fertilizer. Rising production expenses translate to a 76% increase from 2017, the last time the UC conducted cost analysis on farming processing tomatoes. Applications are now open for the Farmer Program that will provide $5.4 million to farmers located in 15 air districts that each contribute less than 1% of total statewide emissions for agricultural equipment. The funds can be used to replace older vehicles and equipment used for agricultural operations as part of the state's Funding Agricultural Replacement Measures for Emission Reductions Farmer Program. Farmer funding is administered by California's regional air districts, and farmers must apply by August 31st directly with their local air district. Replacement with cleaner equipment helps reduce emissions of harmful diesel exhaust and greenhouse gases and improves local air quality. The smaller air quality districts that are eligible for funding through the shared allocation pool are Amador County APCD, Antelope Valley AQMD, Calaveras County APCD, Eastern Kern County APCD, El Dorado AQMD, Great Basin Unified APCD, Lake County AQMD, Lassen County APCD, Mariposa County APCD, Mattock County APCD, North Coastal Unified AQMD, and Northern Sierra AQMD. If your air district is not listed, you can learn more about potential funding by referring to the Farmer District contact list and reaching out to your local air district staff. Funding can be used to purchase off-road equipment replacements, such as tractors and swathers, stationary and portable engine repowers, such as agricultural pumps, utility terrain vehicles and small tractor replacements, infrastructure engaged in or supporting agricultural operations, and on-road heavy-duty truck replacements. It is estimated that projects funded by the Farmer Program since 2018 through the shared allocation pool have reduced 32 tons of fine particulate matter, 555 tons of nitrogen oxides, and 3,270 metric tons of carbon dioxide equivalent greenhouse gases. The shared allocation pool is managed by the Placer County Air Pollution Control District. You can find out more information by logging on to the California Air Resources Board website. A California Rice Field Day is scheduled for Wednesday, August 30th at the Rice Experiment Station in Biggs. The annual event provides growers and other interested parties a chance to see and discuss research in progress at the RES. In addition to the informational field tours and poster displays, a rice equipment vendor display is also being planned. The event will begin at 7:30 a.m. and concludes at noon with lunch. For more information and details on the event, log on to the California Cooperative Rice Research Foundation website. Soledad, California-based Braga Fresh, home of Josie's Organics, has gained its first retail pre-order to support the company's commitment to harvest and take to market crops using regenerative practices, a major step in trialing a low-soil tillage concept design to increase the carbon content in soil. The objectives of the regenerative farming trials are to conserve soil carbon by reducing tillage passes that allows for an increase in soil biology diversity and decrease consumption of diesel fuel that powers the tractors conducting a tillage operation. With these goals, the company hopes to lessen water and fertilizer usage. Whole Foods Market, in response to the company's efforts the last 2 years, has committed to purchasing and selling the scheduled trial crop of organic sweet baby broccoli this summer. Although small volume, it is a benchmark. Regenerative agriculture is a variety of farming principles and techniques that seek to help reverse climate change by rehabilitating soil organic matter and biodiversity. The focus of regenerative farming on soil health promotes the natural cycle of building the soil's carbon and nutrient content levels. It is the third year Braga Fresh is trialing regenerative agriculture practices. 2022 was a learning year and an opportunity to build awareness with the company's farming peers and retail partners. Multiple practices are used to implement the regenerative trials, including plant sap analysis, data management, companion plantings, crop rotation, intercropping, cover cropping, soil testing, and water management and technology. All regenerative trials are conducted to meet GMP and LGMA standards. The trial crop, organic sweet baby broccoli, will be harvested on the Braga Home Ranch in Soledad and field packed under the Josie's Organic brand. Diesel Performance Parts manufacturer Sinister Manufacturing Company Incorporated, doing business as Sinister Diesel, has pled guilty to criminal charges in federal court in Sacramento and has agreed to pay a total of $1 million in criminal fines and civil penalties. The company also agreed to implement a compliance program and to not manufacture, sell, or install any device that defeats a vehicle's emissions controls. Sinister Diesel pleaded guilty to a two-count information, charging it with the conspiracy to violate the Clean Air Act and defraud the United States, and with violating the CAA by tampering with the monitoring device of an emissions control system of a diesel truck. Under the plea agreement, the defendant agrees to pay $500,000 in a criminal fine. Sinister must pay an additional $500,000 under a civil consent decree, which was filed simultaneously, alleging violations of the CAA's prohibition against the sale or manufacture of devices that bypass, defeat, or render inoperative emissions controls. The civil consent decree prohibits the company from making, selling, or offering to sell defeat products, including delete turners, and prevents Sinister Diesel from transferring intellectual property that would allow others to make such products. To ensure compliance with these requirements, Sinister Diesel will implement a robust internal training program and notify its distributors and former customers about the settlement. Irvindale-based Bondul Fresh America's, home of Ready Pack Bistro and leading producer of fresh produce products, including Ready Pack Bistro bowls and salad kits, has announced that Omar Babadia has joined the company as Vice President of Agriculture Operations, reporting to Chief Operating Officer John Clancy. In addition to agriculture operations, Omar will become a member of Bondul's operations leadership team to further bolster the company's end-to-end supply chain system and enhance operational synergies. Omar will be based in the company's newly renovated and expanded Salinas Valley location, with additional responsibility for deepening relationships with grower communities and suppliers across the United States, Canada, Mexico, and South America. Bondul Fresh Americas prides itself as being the first produce company in the U.S. to become a certified B Corporation, collaborating with growers and partners to deliver innovative solutions to feed people's well-being while respecting the planet. And according to the company, their ability to offer high-quality plant-based products from sustainable agriculture and inspire the transition to the plant-based food is only possible thanks to the close partnership and mutual trust with their 2,250 farmer partners in the U.S. and around the world.
It's to no one's surprise that California's almond crop development looks a bit different than last year, as the state went from a year of immense stress to one with more than ideal crop conditions. UCCE orchard advisor Franz Niederholter said some varieties are as much as 2 weeks behind.
Not surprising, we're behind last year with all the stress from a drought year and an earlier bloom, and on top of that we didn't have the frost, the brutal frost we had last year in the northern part of the state, northern San Joaquin Valley. So we're late, although I am seeing a real at least in areas I've looked at, real difference between, say, the Lovell that had a lot of chloride stress last year and the Peach Ammon hybrids that are really vigorous and didn't get the chloride stress because they're really tolerant of chloride. I've seen some Lovell blocks that are going to be ready to go pretty quick and in this area, and then it'll be weeks before some of the Peach Ammon hybrids are ready. So with Naval Orange Room, the next flight coming, at least in the areas I'm looking at, coming sometime next week, just something to be aware of and be thinking about how to getting the nuts off in a timely manner if you're facing a lot of pressure, even though that, you know, may affect your in-shell plans. So a different year with plenty of things to think about.
Something to think about right now is Naval Orange Worm. While growers still have a little extra time after nonpareil harvest, some growers may want to spray their pollinizer varieties for NOW management. The decision of whether to spray or not should be based on the amount of NOW damage observed in nonpareil almonds, progression of the third NOW generation, and when the fourth generation egg laying will start. If growers do choose to spray, Niederholzer recommends planning application timing based on when pollinizers are expected to be harvested, remembering that pre-harvest intervals are based on the shake date, not the date almonds are picked up off the orchard floor.
Especially up here where the nonpareil crops could be lighter, maybe the moderates are better, and so you've got more income out there in the pollinizers than you do in the relatively speaking than you do in the nons. Maybe protecting, especially if the nons are seeing pressure, protecting the later, most of the pollinizers are later, protecting them. If you can get in there, may make a difference. May be beneficial. It also may have to look at harvest timing. Getting them on the orchard floor, maybe if you can, if the timing's right, maybe even more of an advantage than spraying. You're only going to get 50% or maybe in a perfect world, maybe 75% control with a spray. And if you get them on the orchard floor, you should get better than that just because they can't find the nuts, the female. So, but it's something definitely to think about treating when other years you might not treat, again, based on your economics and what the damage looks like in the in your nonpareil. It's just the relative populations out there. And then, you know, you want to try to possibly, if you possibly can, get the pollinizers down before the fourth generation arrives. That I'm just guessing, but that's going to be early September, probably, for at least in the Arbuckle area, Colusa County, where I work. It's just something to we haven't had to be aware of. And to talk to your PCA, look at the materials you have available to you based on pre-harvest interval, and make a decision that, with your eyes wide open.
You're listening to My Ag Life. I'm Taylor Jahlstrom.
We're waking up to a new dawn in agriculture, a better way, where farmers stop working the soil and start working with it. At Huma, our carbon-rich, humate-based products improve soil health and fertility, deliver nutrients more efficiently, and reduce crop input costs. Welcome to Humic Solutions with a human touch. Visit huma.us to learn more.
The chairman of the House Agriculture Committee plans to release a draft farm bill at the end of August. During a farm bill listening session recently, Representative Glenn G.T. Thompson told the Hagstrom Report he plans a markup in mid-September, but only if the leadership has told him what week the bill will be scheduled to come up on the House floor. However, that depends on when House leadership will schedule floor time for the bill. The Pennsylvania Republican told attendees of the listening session, this farm bill is going to be bipartisan, bicameral, on time, and highly effective. The Purdue University Center for Commercial Agriculture has released an updated ag economy barometer for the month of July. Center Director James Minter has the breakdown.
The ag economy barometer index rose 2 points compared to June, and that leaves that index 20 points higher than it was a year earlier, but still 11 points below where it was 2 years ago. The current condition index was up 5 points compared to last month, and that leaves that index 11% higher than it was in July of 2022. The future expectation index was up just 1 point compared to last month, but it leaves it 24% higher than it was compared to July of 2022. For the Farm Financial Performance Index was up 1 point compared to last month's reading of 86. That index is now 1 point lower than a year ago and 12 points below where it was 2 years ago. The Farm Capital Investment Index rose 3 points to a reading of 45, and it's up 9 points compared to a year ago when the reading was just 36. We asked producers again this month what their expectations are for the U.S. prime interest rate, and 65% of the producers told us that over the course of the next year, they expect interest rates to rise. We followed up with producers who said now is a bad time to make large investments in their farming operation to ask them why they feel that way. And rising interest rates are becoming a bigger concern among farmers. This month, 39% of the producers in the survey who think it's a bad time to make large investments said rising interest rates were a primary concern. And just 29% said high prices for farm machinery and new construction were the primary concern. Farmers remain relatively optimistic about farmland values. The short-term farmland value index was down 1 point compared to last month, but that leaves that index just 2 points below where it was a year ago. And the long-term index was unchanged compared to last month and was actually 1 point higher than it was a year ago. For the second month in a row, we followed up with producers of corn and soybeans to ask them about their expectations for cash farmland rental rates in 2024 compared to 2023. And about one out of four, 24% of the people in the survey, said they expect to see higher rates for farmland in 2024 compared to this year. But 71% said they expect to see no change in rental rates in 2024 compared to 2023. That wraps up the highlights of this month's survey. You can get more details at the Barometer website, which is purdue.edu/agbarometer. And you can also get some more details on our podcast, Purdue Commercial Agcast, which is available in all the major podcast providers and at purdue.edu/commercialag. On behalf of the Center for Commercial Agriculture, I'm James Mintert. Thanks for joining us.
Ethanol groups welcome new legislation. It seeks to level the playing field for vehicles running on low-carbon liquid fuels like ethanol. Senators Pete Ricketts, a Nebraska Republican, and Amy Klobuchar, a Minnesota Democrat, introduced a Flex Fuel Fairness Act recently. The legislation, according to the lawmakers, would provide a meaningful incentive for automakers to manufacture flex fuel vehicles in addition to battery electric vehicles. Currently, the Biden administration's Environmental Protection Agency has prioritized regulations that favor dramatically increasing production of EVs and forcing them on consumers, according to Senator Ricketts, who says that the Biden EPA made a mistake and ignored the proven benefits of flex fuel vehicles that can run on higher ethanol blends. Growth Energy CEO Emily Scorer says this bill would level the playing field so both electricity and low-carbon biofuels can drive progress towards a net-zero future. Renewable Fuels Association President and CEO Jeff Cooper adds that this legislation helps to unlock the potential of renewable fuels and puts more tools in the toolbox for automakers. National Milk Producers Federation Senior Vice President of Membership Services and Strategic Initiatives Chris Galen says dairy prices have taken a dive, mainly with lower milk prices, which is common for this time of the year due to the spring flush based on the biology of the dairy cows. However, he says it is worse this year.
If you look at like the June margin under the dairy margin coverage program, I think it's the worst that we've seen in a decade.
Galen gives further explanation as to why the milk prices are so low.
We started to see more production come online last year because we saw record high prices this time last year. And inevitably, of course, the old joke is, the cruel joke, high prices tend to cure high prices. And so you get more milk as a result of high prices. And now we're seeing those low prices. So margins are really compressed. People are justifiably upset by what they're seeing or not seeing in their milk checks.
With that said, Galen says there is a bright outlook.
The only good news is at least the forecasts in the futures markets are looking at a rebound here as we get out of the summer into the fall and winter. So I think as we end 2023, things will look a lot better than where we are right now in the middle part of the year.
National Milk Producers Federation Senior Vice President of Membership Services and Strategic Initiatives, Chris Galen. At the end of July, the Department of Agriculture released the 2022 United States Total Farm Production Expenditure Summary. Farm production expenditures in the United States are estimated at $452.7 billion for 2022, up from $392.9 billion in 2021. The 2022 total farm production expenditures are up 15.2% compared with 2021 total farm production expenditures. The four largest expenditures total $219.6 billion, accounting for 48.5% of total expenditures in 2022. These include feed at 18.5%, farm services at 10.8%, livestock, poultry, and related expenses at 10.1%, and labor at 9.2%. In 2022, the U.S. total farm expenditure average per farm is $226,986, up 15.8% from $196,087 in 2021. A new USDA report on U.S. honeybee colonies shows continued high losses of those colonies. USDA Ag News reporter Gary Crawford.
It seems the nation's honeybee colonies continue to be under siege. The latest USDA report shows the number of colonies down from a year ago, the number of colony losses up. Now, last year, USDA reported that on January 1st of 2022, the number of colonies was only down from the year before by 1%. But on January 1st of this year, the number of colonies down by 7% at just under 2.7 million. And the downward pressure has continued into 2023. USDA reports the number of colonies lost during the January through March quarter, that number up by 14%. Colonies lost with symptoms of colony collapse disorder, those losses are up by 25%. What's going on with the bees? Chris Hyatt's president of the American Honey Producers Association. He thinks there are multiple causes.
Varroa mite, passing viruses, there's way less forage, climate change with drought.
And possibly some issues with pesticides too. Gary Crawford for the U.S. Department of Agriculture.
JCS Marketing is your number one way to connect with the ag industry. Through print magazines, digital media, podcasts, and live and virtual events, JCS Marketing has the reach to inform, educate, and influence growers in the Western United States.
Everywhere you go, you see West Coast Nut Magazine on every one of my customers' tables. So that tells you everything. It's there, so they're reading it.
Our My Ag Life platform includes podcast interviews and digital articles for busy professionals on the go. Our live events, continuing education webinars, and virtual conferences help growers connect with leading researchers and industry leaders. Let JCS Marketing help you connect.
That will wrap up today's show. You've been listening to the My Ag Life Daily News Report. I'm Lori Boyer. From all of us here at the JCS Marketing Team, thank you for listening.